this week
we're... Hey, Les, how come you keep that guy...
You mean our announcer?
Well, he's... you pay him good money for announcing the show.
Well,
anybody can do what he does. Why don't you do the commercials yourself and save the dough?
Well, I...
Like I'm always telling Phil Harris, why throw your money around unless you get some fun out of it? Now, with what you could save, we could have ourselves a real time. Listen, Les, I know a couple of lady wrestlers who...
And, of course, by this time, ladies and gentlemen, you've recognized the voice of Elliot Lewis, who created that outstanding character, Frank Remley, Phil Harris' bosom pal on the Phil Harris and Alice Faye popular program, and a host of other roles in many of the top radio shows. It's a great pleasure to have Elliot Lewis as the co-star of this week's play.
Well, thank you very much, Les. And seriously, he's a darn good announcer. I was just giving him a Frankie routine.
Well, that Remley routine has caused lots of people trouble, but will you stand by while we present your co-star, the young lady who originated the role of Jane on My Friend Irma, and who has been featured on Sam Spade, Suspense, and a score of other big radio shows, lovely Kathy Lewis.
Thank you, Les. This is like old times. And remembering how nice it was working with you when we did Dark Victory together. It should be fun.
I agree heartily. And I'll see both of you after the play, huh?
We'll be here.
We wouldn't miss it, Les.
Kathy and Elliot Lewis will be back as themselves after the play. But now, here is our announcer. Curtain is up, and here is the play.
Gee, Marty, how's a fellow supposed to do his work with all that noise going on? Yeah, I never thought of that. Hey, you were right, Marty. It is quieter with the door shut. Sure, two heads are better than one. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. I wear Snuggles underwear because... Oh, no, that's no good. Why would anyone wear Snuggles underwear? No. No, that wouldn't do. It's too suggestive. Please. No, let me see. I wear Snuggles underwear because they make me feel so well-groomed. No, that isn't. What are you growling at? Oh, well, don't growl at the boss, Monty. It isn't etiquette. Shh, quiet.
Well, well, well. A boy and his dog right in the heart of the Bemis Advertising Company. Isn't that a lovely sight?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bemis. I had him pose for the dog food ad this morning.
Oh.
And look at the trick I just taught him.
A trick?
Oh, yeah, sure. I touch his paw like this. Then when I give the signal, he starts running around yelping and holding his paw. Now watch. Lame dog. All right, Monty. Well, dog. All right. You see, he limps and holds his paw just as though he were hurt.
Very convincing.
Uh-huh.
And what has that to do with Snuggles underwear?
Well, I haven't exactly thought of the tie-up yet.
There isn't any tie-up. But I hope you're both very happy working for me.
Oh, yes, Mr. Bemis. We're both happy with the Bemis Advertising Company. Especially Monty.
Well, the Bemis Advertising Company isn't happy with you.
Why, Mr. Bemis, just this morning you said I was the most useful piece of average Americana in this office.
That was before you fired the Douglas girl.
The Douglas girl? Oh, yes, that new copywriter somebody hired yesterday. Well, one piece of her copy was enough. I didn't even bother seeing her.
I didn't even bother seeing her.
Well, we won't miss her, boss.
Huh.
I think I still have her work on my desk. Yeah, here it is. Get a load of this, Chief. Wear it in sleet or rain or storm. Snuggle in Snuggles and always be warm. Poetry by Miss Douglas, you know.
It might interest you to know, Mr. Kirk Kilbridge,
huh?
That Miss Douglas happens to be the daughter of the head of the Snuggles Underwear Company.
Well, how was I to know? She said her name was Douglas, not Snuggles.
And your name will be mud unless you get that girl back here before we lose the Snuggles account.
But I don't even know what she looks like.
Fortunately, her father sent me a picture of her this morning. He had an idea that she was going to try to get a job here without revealing her identity.
Why should she want a job here?
It seems Miss Douglas doesn't think that the advertising job we've been doing for her dad is so hot.
Oh.
Lucky we got the letter and the picture in this morning's mail. First thing that I knew, she was working here. Now, take a good look at that picture.
Yes, Mr. Moon. I fired that?
The kid had an idea that she wanted to get by on her own. Oh, and you better see that she continues to think that she's doing just that.
But how will I find her? Where will I look?
I don't know. Wherever girls go their first week in New York. Statue of Liberty, Grant's Tomb, the Empire State Building. And if you don't find her, you can jump off. And don't come back here without her.
Well, it's just like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Try Central Park, Nick. It's spring. And take that bloodhound with you.
Ah,
Well, we've tried the Statue of Liberty, Grant's Tomb, the Aquarium, the Empire State Building. Did you ever know Central Park was this big, Monty? Yeah, I know, but that last week's salary is going to last forever. Oh, if I could just find that Douglas girl. Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that the girl in the picture? It is. Come on, Monty. We'll follow her until I get a bright idea. Well, I do get them sometimes. All right. There was the time I suggested the slogan for the tire campaign. Huh? Marvelous. Marvelous idea. What would I do without you? That's a wonderful idea. All right, come on. Let's sneak over close to her without being seen. Just be quiet. All right, now, go to it, Monty. Lame dog. Lame dog.
Oh, you poor little doggy. Oh, Monty. Honey, you must have hurt your paw.
Monty? What's the matter, Monty? Did you step on his paw?
Oh, dear. Oh, I don't think I did. I mean, I didn't notice.
Well, here. Would you mind holding him just a minute?
Oh, sure.
There must be a phone near here. I'll get the best veterinarian in town. I'd kill myself if anything happened to Monty.
Oh, I'll hold him. You go ahead and call.
Yes, well, don't put him down on the ground.
I won't.
All right, I'll be right back. I guess the vet must be out of town or something. He didn't answer.
Oh, what are you doing?
Well, I'll have to rip my shirt up and make a compress or something.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
You can dampen it in this fountain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, good idea. All right, now, there. Uh-huh. This'll fix it, Monty, old son.
Oh, wonderful to find a man who loves animals so much.
Mm-hmm.
Here in New York City, I mean.
Oh, are you a stranger here?
Oh, yes. Yes, just been here a few days.
Oh.
Isn't that an awfully big bandage you're putting on?
Well, I wear a very big-sized shirt.
Yes, I see.
Where are you from?
Oh, a small manufacturing town, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
What should we do about Monty?
Oh, well, better get him home. I live right near here. You wouldn't want to help me get him home? Well, he seems so comfortable in your arms. Besides, I think it would be dangerous to move him now.
Oh, of course I'll help you.
Oh.
He's a wonderful dog.
Oh, yes. Best of breed in his last show.
Really?
Oh. Well, he isn't too heavy for you?
No, I'm fine.
This is the building right here. Lucky I live near the park, huh?
Going up?
Yes, thank you.
Evening, Mr. Kilbridge.
Mm-hmm.
Something wrong with Monty?
Your name, Kilbridge?
Someone stepped on his paw.
Oh, and I'm really very sorry. I do hope no bones are broken.
Well, that remains to be seen.
Second floor.
Oh, yes, that's where we get off. Suppose Monty can walk now?
Oh, I'll carry him.
All right, then. It's not far. It's right here. There we are. Here we are. Now, you hold him here on the sofa. I'll go get some liniment.
Oh, fine. Poor doggy. Doesn't hurt very much. Oh, let's see if there are any broken bones, huh? Bandage is big enough to make an elephant limp. It's all right now. It's all right. I won't hurt you. Just taking the bandage off. Hey! There's nothing wrong with his paw. He scooted out of my lap like a greyhound.
Well, here I am with the litter. Where's Monty?
Oh, well, I took the bandage off and he just...
Monty!
Wait a minute.
Hmm?
I have an idea. This is all a big hoax. Is this a new angle for getting girls up to your apartment?
No, it's just a sort of a trick I taught Monty to amuse.
I've heard about you, New York wolves.
Yeah.
Where's my purse? Of all the mean, low, contemptible...
Don't you see, I had to speak to you, Miss Douglas, and that was the only way I had
to... How did you know my name?
Now, just wait a minute. Sit down again. Have a drink. Have something to eat. Maybe you'd like to hear some new recording?
No, I wouldn't. And I don't want to see your etchings, either. You let me out of here, or do I have to scream?
You do me a grave injustice, Miss Douglas. My intentions are purely businesslike.
I'm quite sure of it.
Look, I'm Kirk Kilbridge, head of the copy department of the Bemis Advertising Company.
The man who fired me without giving me half a chance.
Now, I saw your first bit of poetry, and I saw red. You see, I love poetry, and yours was very good.
Thank you.
It was too good for commercialization. I just couldn't see putting wonderful poetry like that on a billboard, or hearing it used for one of those jingles on the radio.
You really mean that?
I love poetry. I spend practically all my time reading Keats and Shelley and the other guys, and it seemed like sacrilege.
And what made you decide after firing me to try and find me again?
Frankly, it was the boss. Mr. Bemis himself, he saw your copy on my desk. He read it, and then he said, Kirk Kilbridge, your name will be mud unless you get that girl back here.
And you found me in the park?
After I'd searched the whole city for you.
And you used Monty to pick me up?
Yeah, that was it.
That was very cute.
Oh?
I forgive you.
Well, would you like to hear those recordings now?
I'd love to.
And afterwards, we can read poetry together, maybe?
You really do like poetry.
And then dinner together? I know a marvelous little French restaurant in the village that serves French food that they haven't even heard of in France.
It sounds entrancing.
Gee, you're a wonderful girl, Miss Douglas. Well, I know you'll like the place.
I'm sure I will.
Sure.
And while we're eating dinner, you can tell me how you knew what I looked like.
Hmm?
You never saw me at the advertising company, but you did recognize me in the park. And the story better be good.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Bachelor and the Fox Terrier, starring Kathy and Elliot Lewis. And now, here is our announcer.
Tell me about the music.
I was saving that for a surprise.
Music is the poetry of the air.
Hmm?
That's a quotation from Richter.
Oh, Richter. Uh-huh. Very fond of him.
Do you eat here often?
Well, not very. It's a long trip alone.
Oh.
We could eat here often, though. Have you a boyfriend?
I just got to New York.
Well, that doesn't answer my question.
Well, I did have a boyfriend back home.
Oh.
But that was in the sixth grade. I've never been really serious about anyone since then.
I haven't got a girlfriend. Did I tell you you're very beautiful?
Yes, you did. But you haven't told me how you knew what I looked like, even though you hadn't seen me at the Bemis Advertising Company.
I'm glad you brought that up. You sort of made me forget about business. I want you to come back to the agency, June, starting tomorrow.
Oh. Oh, and what about committing sacrilege by using my poetry in advertising?
I think maybe I was wrong. I was wrong. The world deserves to hear about Snuggles underwear in poetry.
Oh, Kirk.
Hmm?
You're so understanding.
Morning, Kirk.
Morning, Chief.
Good work getting the Douglas girl back. Always knew you had the right stuff in you.
Ah, thanks, Chief. She's handing in good copy, too. Here, listen to this. Held together by hand-sewn stitch, Snuggles underwear will never itch.
Good. Are you crazy or kidding?
Now, don't underestimate the power of poetry, Mr. Bemis. Music and poetry are the two greatest powers of our emotional existence. And music is the poetry of the air. That's a quotation from Richter.
Who is Richter?
A famous poet.
We don't want any poetry around here.
Well, what do we do about June? Miss Douglas, I mean.
Well, let her write it if she wants to. Keep her happy. But don't use any of that stuff. Don't let a little blonde hair warp your judgment, my boy.
No, sir.
Maybe you were better off with your dog.
Oh, Monty and Miss Douglas get along fine, sir.
Good, good. Keep them together and out of our advertising.
This is very hard on my creative genius. Well, come in. Oh, June. Sorry, I thought it was somebody else.
You told me to let you know when it was 12:30.
Oh, is it?
You don't have to take me to lunch if you're busy, though.
Well, of course I want to take you to lunch.
Did you like my new poem?
Yes.
I thought up another one. Be well dressed like Adolphe Manjou. Wear snuggles. They'll never creep up on you.
Let's go to lunch. Honestly, Monty, I don't know what to do. You see, I'm so much in love with her that this poetry business is beginning to sound good. But when Mr. Bemis is around, it doesn't sound so good anymore. Oh, shh, quiet now. You know he doesn't like my having you in the office.
Morning, Kirk.
Good morning, sir.
Got the National Magazine campaign ready?
Yes, sir, here it is. I'll just keep this last carbon copy on my desk.
Looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. Have Snyder send it to the printers.
Well, thank you. That's a load off my mind. Now all I have to do is line up the radio commercials.
That shouldn't be too tough. You can use some of the same material in the magazine campaign.
Yes.
And remember, no poetry.
Yes, sir. No, sir. No. No. Well, let's see.
Good morning, dear.
Oh, June. I didn't hear you come in. Oh, you look lovely today.
Thank you. What's that?
Hmm? Oh, it's just the magazine campaign copy. Dinner tonight?
Mm. Well, this is the ad Curtis wrote. This is Johnson's copy. I guess you wrote this one.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't used one of my ads.
Well, we'll probably be able to fit your poems into the radio campaign a little easier. Maybe.
Maybe. You haven't used one of my poems, and I'm getting sore. You use all the same old stuff you've been using ever since Father first... I mean, ever since heaven knows when.
We've done a pretty good job of building up sales.
But you're too stubborn to try anything else. You don't know how much one of my poems might build up sales.
I have an idea.
There you go with your snide remarks again.
What?
If you aren't going to use my material, why did you hire me back?
Because Bemis said I had to.
Oh, and he won't even talk to me about my work.
Let's not fight, dear. You're working here. And you might get a chance to sell Bemis some of your ideas one of these days. And after all, your father is satisfied with... Ooh.
Then you knew all along who I was.
That was a slip.
I'll say it was. That act in the park makes sense now. And so does your cheap lovemaking.
No, I meant every word of that.
You haven't got a sincere bone in your body. I'm quitting. That's what I'm doing. I'll get a job somewhere else. Maybe even with a competitor.
No, but I love you, June. And so does Monty.
Well, I hate you. And I hate Monty, too. Oh!
2 weeks is a long time, Monty. 14 days. Let's face it, Monty, we miss her. And it isn't only because of Bemis getting sore, either. You know, it was at this very spot that we first saw her, Monty. I touched your paw like that. And I said, lame dog. No, Monty, not now. Stop it. Monty, will you quit it? Monty, cut it out. No more.
Come here, you poor little doggy. I'll hold you in my arms, even if that cruel man won't do anything but yell at
you.
No,
he's not hurt.
How can you be so cruel? I ought to report you to the Inhumane Society. That's what I ought to do.
Oh, it's just a trick.
A fine trick. Letting a poor little dog like that suffer.
No, but really...
Go and get a dog doctor. A vegetarian. Can't let this dog suffer.
He's not suffering.
Not suffering. Look at the poor little deer. Take off your shirt.
My shirt?
Of course. We have to make a bandage for the poor little deer's foot. Don't you see him leaping?
No, look. You don't understand. I simply touched
his
paw.
Are you going to take your shirt off, or shall I take it off for you?
I'll take it off. There.
There, that's better. Now, we'll dip it in the fountain. There. Now, I make a bandage.
Fine, good. That's a very nice bandage. He'll be all right now. Thank you very much. Goodbye. I'll take him home.
Conchita does not trust you. I will go home with you.
Really? I can take care of him myself.
Oh, you are a cruel man. I insist on going with you. Where do you live?
Right over there, but it isn't necessary.
It certainly is necessary.
No, I can manage, really, very nicely without you.
I wouldn't even let you carry this adorable dog.
Okay, you carry him, the big ham.
Don't you try any tricks now. And if you try and get rid of me, I will call the police.
Going up.
Mm.
Evening, Mr. Kilbridge.
Hey.
Monty Hart?
No.
Yes.
I just took a young lady.
Oh, will you stop this talking? The dog is hurt.
Yes, ma'am. Here's your floor.
Thank you.
Oh, Kirk, I had to see you.
June.
I was wrong.
Oh, more conversation than with his poor little doggy hurt.
Oh, another easy pickup.
Well, certainly not.
Conchita is no pickup.
You folks getting out?
Take me down.
Oh,
please.
Let us out. This poor little doggy is hurt.
No, listen, June, this woman wished herself on me.
Oh, Conchita does not wish herself on anybody.
Will you folks please make up your mind whether you're getting out or not?
Look, Conchita, whatever your name is.
Conchita, see.
This is just a little trick of Mr. Kilby.
Yes, he did say it was a trick.
Just a cheap trick to pick up defenseless women.
Oh, I have been taken in. Let me out.
Go on down.
But please, June, don't leave just yet. If you'll just let me explain, it was all Monty's fault.
A likely story.
No, really. Oh, Monty, be quiet.
June. Go now. Here, take your confederate.
Yes, thank you.
And
June.
The next time, you'd better get a new act. This one's a little worn out. Goodbye.
Monty, we'll have to get a new act. We've lost June, and I'm running out of shirts. I wear Snuggles underwear because... It's no use, Monty. My heart just isn't in Snuggles underwear. It's been 2 weeks since I've seen June, and... Monty? Hey, where's my dog? Yeah? Guess he's tired of my company, too.
Kirk?
Hmm?
I want to talk to you.
Oh, I'm glad someone wants to talk to me.
I'm afraid you won't be very happy with what I want to talk to you about.
I suppose it's about the Douglas girl again. She's gotten a job with a competitor. We're threatened with losing the account, and you want me to get her back here again or else.
I've got her back.
How did you do it, boss? Where is she? How long has she been back?
Well, I had to promise to use some of her poetry. Got her back a week ago, but she's back in Johnson's office. She's turning out reams of poetry, only she refuses to submit it through you. Says she'll have nothing to do with you whatsoever.
So?
So I'm afraid, Kirk, that I'll have to find a new copy chief. Can't have dissensions in the ranks.
And her old man does own the Snuggles Underwear Company.
Oh, well, I'm sure you'll find something, Kirk. Cashier has 2 weeks' pay ready for you. Good luck, my boy.
Good luck, my boy.
That's why Monty walked out on me, too. Thought I wouldn't be able to afford his dog food. Wonder where he went.
So, you took my advice and taught your dog a new trick.
June.
A fine trick. Teaching him to tear women's dresses. Just look at that.
Monty,
well, let me tell you something, Kirk Kilbridge. You'll have to have my dress fixed for
me. Well, I will. I'll even buy you a new dress. We'll go right over and pick one out.
Oh, but Kirk...
Only, could it be a blue dress? Please, June. You look so wonderful in blue.
I suppose it could be a blue dress. Yes,
and could we stop and have a bite of lunch together first? It is lunchtime, you know. Then we could buy the dress.
Oh, Kirk, I made Monty tear my dress. He wandered into my office and he nudged me with his muzzle and he made me think of you.
Oh?
And I was too embarrassed to just walk into you. And then I thought if I could make it look as though he'd... Well, I don't even care if you are a wolf. And if you don't like poetry.
Oh, but I do. And I'm not a wolf. And this is all wonderful, June. Why, it even moves me to poetry.
It does?
Sure, listen to this. When a fellow's got a girl who's cute and sweet and pretty and a car and a house and a lot, it really is a pity.
What's a pity?
If he isn't wearing Snuggles underwear.
Oh.
Oh, June, we can make such wonderful poetry together.
And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Bachelor and the Fox Terrier, co-starring Kathy and Elliot Lewis, who return in just a moment. And our stars, Kathy and Elliot Lewis. Kids, you really lived up to your reputation as Mr. and Mrs. Radio.
We had a lot of fun doing the show, Les, if that means anything.
Well, you know, you can't play comedy unless you do have fun, Kathy, and you and Elliot did a great job.
Oh, thanks, Les. And thanks, too, to the other members of the cast. As always, they were great. You know, Kathy and I listen to your program every time we can, and we've been wondering, when are you going to star again?
Well, in a few weeks, Elliot, and I'm really looking forward to it.
We'll be listening.
Thank you. In the meantime, we have some great picture stars lined up.
We'll be listening for them, too, Les. Now, goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Kathy and Elliot Lewis. In the cast, you heard our stars, Elliot Lewis as Kirk, Kathy Lewis as June. Mr. Bemis was played by Earl Ross, Conchita by June Foray, and the part of Monty the Fox Terrier was played by Charlie Lund. Each week, we present an entirely different type of radio story, drama, comedy, romance, tragedy, and so forth. And each week, we present a star, usually a great star in the entertainment world, in stories especially written for them. So try and be with us each and every week, won't you? Music for the Movie Town Radio Theater was composed and conducted by Adele Castillo. The Bachelor and the Fox Terrier was written for radio by Helen Wald and Bud Lesser, produced and directed by yours truly, Les Mitchell.